Please be seated. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Wow. Sorry. I am aware of the time, and I will get us done in a timely sort of manner. Hadn't it been great to be here today? I am thankful that you chose, to be with us every week, but wasn't it special to be here today? And I hope that it wasn't simply special to watch what went on, but to have your own heart stirred towards what God would call us all to be about. We marvel, again, to have walked in those dusty roads beside Jesus, maybe, as Roger said, somebody in front of Jesus, wherever it was, we still got to see him. And what we noticed was that every single part of him was about service. He could not get beyond that core of love, and the way that that core of love poured out, not only in his heart, but into his actions, was his service. Whether that was the service of blessing children or the service that he rendered of honoring so many women that came his direction and acknowledging them, or the way that healing was a service that he stepped into. It was a powerful way. In fact, the scriptures will note multiple times of Jesus spending what seems like an entire afternoon. Everyone who came, he laid his own priorities down so that he could serve. And then John says it so appropriately, knowing what was about to happen, he showed them the full extent of his love. Again, his core was loving God, and that poured itself out in the most basic, most practical, most tangible service that probably anybody knew in that day and time, to wash the feet of those at the dinner table. Jesus took on that role. Jesus took on that burden. Jesus took on that service and that ministry. This is who Jesus was. I invite you to open your own Bibles and to read into the Gospels and to look at every turn, how it is not Jesus who's grabbing center stage, who is taking the limelight, but how it is constantly Jesus laying down his own life, pointing the attention towards God and meeting the needs, sometimes needs that people didn't even really know themselves, of those who are around him. So we've been watching Jesus fish. He invites us to be fishers of men, and we're watching how he does it, noticing, praying, loving, listening, engaging and asking special kinds of questions, welcoming people, inviting people. And again, I've called you to be among those who follow in Jesus' steps this week to invite people, whether it's to those who come to a Thanksgiving feast and you invite them to come and go with us and attend with us here on Sunday mornings, or whether it's inviting your neighbor to come and be part of the family journey of Thanksgiving. They'll be blessed. And you will be blessed if you step across that line, as it were, to step across the room and choose to invite them. Last week we looked at the way Jesus witnessed to the love and power and grace and mercy of God, and how his followers couldn't help but tell about not only God's love, but what Jesus did in his own love. And this week we are talking about servants. So it would be appropriate that we would look at the way that Jesus served and how God was honored and how in his service people decided to turn back and come home to God. It was a way that he fished for men. We also can't help but notice that as Jesus served, he always called those who followed him to serve others, not just the way they wanted to serve them, but to serve others as he himself had served them. And there's power in those words, a power that in reality most of us can't live into. But it did seem to take hold. He said, I'm serving you this way, and now I want you to serve this way. Not that the apostles seemed to have adapted immediately the idea of washing everyone's feet every time they sat together, although there is some historical evidence that this was a very common practice in the church. For the leaders of a house church that would gather on a Sunday to celebrate the Lord's Supper, that leader of the church would, on occasion at least, take off his outer garment, pour a bowl, and be the one who washed the feet of the people who came to participate in that very special gathering of God's people in which the Lord's Supper was the center of what went on. But it went on in a lot of different other ways. I want to read from you from Acts chapter 9 real quick, if you would join me there. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Wouldn't you like that to be, would that be a great thing to put on your tombstone? He or she was always helping and doing good. I'd like that to be something that people say about me. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter, who was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Did I cut off the rest of that scripture? What a terrible thing. I did. So let's read it straight out of the text. "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying, mourning her loss, and showing him the robes and other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. They were witnessing to what Dorcas did. I want you to kind of get the picture here just for a second. Jesus was a servant, yes? Jesus said, "You apostles, I want you to serve others the way you've served me." And so the apostles went out and served. And should we be surprised that those people who came to know the gospel of Jesus, then in turn, Jesus served the apostles served the church, and lo and behold, the people in the church chose to serve. And one more thing I want you to notice. By the way, if you want to read in Acts chapter 9, the end of the story is really wonderful, but I'm going to let you read it there. But notice, the service of this woman is something that people talk about. She did good. She helped the poor. In other words, she did things like Jesus did. But ultimately, on her deathbed, people are sitting there witnessing to the goodness of God, not because she had preached a sermon, not because she had taught a Bible lesson, but because she had helped them in tangible, perceptible ways. People witnessed to God because of what Dorcas had done. Oh, that our service would be such that when we serve, people recognize the God who is behind the service. They give glory to God, and they see that we are witnessing to Him. I think we can do that. I think the Holy Spirit can take what we do and make it a witness to God's goodness. So we need to serve the way Jesus served. So just four quick points with me, and we'll wrap up, and you'll get home to... Is anybody having turkey on Sunday 2 weeks before Thanksgiving? I'm betting against it. Serving as Jesus served. First of all, Jesus served without concern for return. He told a lot of teachings and even parables about the idea of inviting people to banquets who would never be able to invite you back. Jesus always served with no sense of, "Oh, I'm going to take care of this person and then they're going to take care of me." And we're called to serve in that kind of way. In fact, I would say that Jesus points us towards serving those, not just that won't, but that cannot return what we are giving to them. Secondly, Jesus served others without concern for the cost. Again, he tells this in a parable. He talks about the Good Samaritan, who not only finds the man and notices the man and picks the man up and helps him as best as he can, but he takes him to an inn nearby and he leaves some of his money with the innkeeper and says, "Take care of him." But then he says, "Whatever the expenses on this guy, when I get back, I will repay you again." I am not setting a budget on this. Now that's about money, isn't it? But really, the way that Jesus served wasn't simply about what the financial cost would be. He was willing to give everything there was to serve you and me. He served us all the way to the cross and gave everything that could be given. He continues, even this day, to pour out his life because of sin and the need for sin to be covered by his blood. Not just for those who don't know him, but if we're honest about it, you and I who know him and have stepped into the waters of baptism in response to his love still require the daily cleansing of what Jesus pours into our life. Amen? Without concern for the cost. This also connects. Jesus was particularly interested in serving those who were, and again, the scripture will often call them the little ones, and those that would be considered unworthy. When the woman caught in adultery was thrown in front of him, she wasn't worth much to any of the people that were standing in that circle. But Jesus said, she's worth something to me. And in speaking the way he spoke and in acting the way he acted, he served one that nobody else thought was worthy. You know, I'm really thankful that Jesus would serve the unworthy because I count myself among those who are unworthy of the cost and the way that he served. Maybe we would be a little more interested in serving those who we would categorize of they're not worth my service. They won't appreciate it. It won't do any good. They're not worth it. When we consider the way that God could look at us, he won't appreciate it. He's not worth it. Why would he be considered worthy? And finally, isn't it amazing? When Jesus served people, they praised God. They gave thanks to God. Jesus served in such a way that it kind of poured out of him, and people didn't just say, thank you, Jesus. People said, thank you, God, for what you were doing. We get this neat opportunity every once in a while. Some of us do that. We go and serve communion to our shut-ins. It's just really neat. So often you walk in that door and they're just so thankful you've come, so glad to see you. And I believe, say thank you to God for our coming and visiting and serving at their table. It's a very powerful thing. So today's a very special day. It is the 11th. This doesn't happen very often, does it? And I have to hesitate just a minute because nothing can be equated with the kind of sacrificial service that Jesus did. Please say amen to that. But today is Veterans Day. And isn't it interesting that when people are in the military, what we call it is they have served in the military. They serve in the Army. They serve in the Navy. They serve in the Marines. They serve in the Coast Guard. My father-in-law served in the Merchant Marines during the end of World War II. We have these people that we call veterans. And in so many powerful ways, they choose to take their lives and put them on hold so that when you and I go to bed at night, we are not in fear of an invasion of this country. That doesn't mean that there aren't plenty of people who are trying and sometimes even succeeding at things like that. But every day there are men and women in our military who serve us, most of whom will never hear from you or me. And yet their gift applies to each of us, church says. So I would take longer to do this, but I'm going to take just a moment. If you have served in any of our armed forces, would you at this time, please hold your applause because I'm not done yet. Would you please stand at this time? Whether active duty or in the past, would you please stand at this time? Oh, I like that it was a woman that was the first one that stood up. Thank you very much. What we recognize is that anyone who serves in the military, their family serves with them. So if you are a spouse or a child or a parent of one of these that have served, or whether they're here or not, would you please stand? Let us thank for their service in our military. You can be seated, please. I don't know if you noticed, I'm standing. I stood on purpose. I have two nephews that are in the Air Force. I'm very, very proud of them. I want you to know that if you want to participate in something that kind of expands that thankfulness, at Madge Griffin, our very own Carrie Schertz, who stood, if she was here, Matt, where are you, Carrie? There she is, all the way in the back, all right. Carrie, who is one of our veterans, is going to be hosting a veterans program at 1:45 with a reception to follow at Madge Griffith Elementary. Yes, tomorrow? Shake your head up and down in the dark back there. Oh, thank you very much. All right. And everyone is invited. She is the music teacher for the third graders there, and they'll all be performing together. 1:45 Madge Griffin Veterans Program. Hope that you can be a part of that. So the invitation is to come. The invitation is to join Jesus in fishing for men. The invitation today is to be among those who would serve in such a way as to glorify God. So it's our tradition to stand and sing, and we sing a song, and our expectation is that someone might want to come forward, and we are welcome to any who would come for prayers, for a repentant heart who wants to say, I have sin that I need you to help me to deal with, or someone who wants to start a life with Christ in the waters of baptism, or maybe even there's a family or an individual who wants to say, we want to be aligned with a church like this one. We call it place membership. Be part of that church family. You're welcome to do that. But today, we should all respond. Today, sing if you can, but if you can't sing, your mind should be directed upon the idea of what, before this day is over, can I do to serve in a way that glorifies God? What is it that I can be about today that will be His blessing to someone who can't return it, who may not be worthy of it, but who God would serve, who Jesus would serve if they were here? So you may not be able to sing because your mind needs to think. But let's stand and let us all respond to Christ's invitation.
In need of grace.